The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lay.
I love the snowball concept where you buy a rental property, it's putting off a little bit of cash flow. You buy your next property, it's putting off some more cash flow, and the snowball just keeps growing and growing and growing. And one day you wake up and you've got this big giant snowball and you've got a bunch of cash flow coming in every month. I think it's real powerful to kind of think about that as you're building out your rental portfolio. My guest today has taken the snowball concept to a whole nother level. He started with nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. He bought his first rental property. He scrimped and he saved and he ended up buying his first property with cash. And he used the cash flow from that rental to buy his second rental. And then he used the cash flow from the two rentals to buy his third rental. And he just kept doing this over and over and over again. And now he's got this great, huge portfolio that's all paid for. He's never used any debt. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I never would have thought that this was possible until I met our guest today. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds. And we'll meet Scott Strong from Lisbon, Ohio.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
Hey, Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I am super excited to hear your story. You just have a real inspiring story that I think what I love about your story is I feel like anybody could do what you've done if they have the patience. And that I think is the biggest part of your story is that it just took you a lot of time to get where you are today. Do you think that's fair?
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, so why don't we start with you telling us where you are today, and then we'll kind of take a step back and talk about how you got there.
Okay. Currently, our units are all in a core area in Eastern Ohio. We have 108 doors in 57 locations.
That's incredible. So you've got some multifamily or some duplexes?
Yeah, our biggest unit is 6 units.
Okay.
And we have a lot of single families.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk about this because I think it's so interesting that you built your portfolio without using any debt. So talk to us about how you first got started. Like, how did you get that first deal?
Well, it was a local deal for me. I was a teenager at the time. And it was back in 1990, and I purchased the first trailer with a piece of ground with it for $11,000. And my dad co-signed for that.
Wow, $11,000. And then that was a property that you were going to live in, right?
Yeah, but I knew right off that I was not going to live in it long.
Okay. So it was just you were going to live there. It was a place to live, and then you were – So you basically had a plan that you were going to buy rentals?
Yeah, I was going to continue to move up. Yep.
Okay. So how long did it take you before you were able to, because you paid your dad off, your dad loaned you the money, and, or is that right? Or did he just co-sign?
He actually co-signed
for okay.
it.
Okay.
And, you know, I had put my own down payment on, he co-signed for the rest. I believe it was right around $8,000.
Okay.
And it took me about 2 years to have that paid off and have enough money built up to buy a second one.
And then you moved to the second property and then you rented out that first trailer.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And so it was just a move up. Was it just a nicer house?
Yeah, it was actually a two-bedroom house.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is the exciting part, because you basically, now you've got whatever extra income from your job, and you've got the income from that first property, and you're just kind of banking the profit every month, right?
Yeah. So what I did is, so the second one, I lived in, but I paid myself rent.
Okay.
So I put the rent aside, plus the first, trailer, I had that rent coming in. So now, you know, at the time it was only $300 a piece. So $600 a month I was putting away, getting ready for my third one.
Okay. And then how long did it take for you to save up enough to buy your third property with cash?
And again, it was probably about 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Maybe a year and a half. And each one, the time frame was getting smaller and smaller between buying the next one.
Now, it's really kind of exciting to hear that you were able to do this. But at the time when you were going through it, were you ever thinking, gosh, this is taking so long? Like, to, you know, it's like you're saving just a little bit of money every month, and you know, it's taking years to be able to buy a place. Were you ever thinking, well, maybe I should just get a mortgage and speed this process up?
I really didn't, because I knew, you know, the $11,000 trailer that I bought and rehabbed was worth 20. You know, everything was increasing so quick, and I thought it was going very fast, and mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about the debt. So I could
okay.
have one that was open for a month or two and not be stressed.
Right. And that's the greatest thing about not having debt, is there's so much less risk. Was that a consideration at all, that if you don't have debt, you're never going to get foreclosed on?
Yeah, I'm ultra conservative. So, you know, for sure, I didn't have to worry about the debt whatsoever at mm-hmm. any time along the whole process.
So then when did things really start gaining momentum? So you're buying a property, you know, it's taking 2-3 years to buy a property. When did you get to the point where you were maybe picking up a property every year?
It probably took about 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
To get to that point. And, you know, it continued, even if it was one a year. You know, then it was one every 11 months, 10 months. It just kept increasing.
Yeah. And now you're at the point where you're probably able to pick up like a house a month if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. And now you're up to a large portfolio, and you've got how many properties did you say today?
We have 108 doors in 57
okay.
locations.
And is this a lot of work for you to manage that many properties?
You know, I guess it's relevant. There is a lot of work, but I have a great group that works for me.
Okay.
You know, I'm still working part-time at it, you know, maybe an hour or two a day.
Okay.
My wife works full-time, and then we also have 4 full-time maintenance and repairmen that work for us as well.
So are there a lot of calls that come in? Is it a lot of, is it a lot of work to manage this many doors?
You know, I would say yes, it is, but we use a software. I'm not sure if I can say the name.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. We use Buildium.
Okay.
That really changed us a lot. We were about 50 doors, 60 doors when we switched to Buildium. And at 108 doors, it's still the same amount of work as it was back then. It streamlined so many processes for us.
You know, that's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he's got a really big portfolio, and he was saying that if he could do it over again, he would have set things up early on where he was using a software to manage the properties, because it's a lot easier, takes a lot less time to manage properties when you have systems. So do you guys like have a lot of systems for everything? So say if a tenant calls and says, I'm going to pay rent, I can't pay rent until the 15th. Do you guys have a system for that? Or is it something where you have to individually work something out with a tenant?
We do have a system. And, you know, really, everything is run through Buildium. If a tenant has an issue, 90% of our tenants either have a smartphone or access to a computer, and they can interact with the system directly, such as turning in a maintenance report or letting us know that they're going to be 2 days late on rent. We have all the policies in place for a small grace period, and then fees kick in. They can see all that online.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
I want to talk about the numbers that Scott uses when he's evaluating properties. Also, I want to see what types of properties he likes to buy and if he sees a difference between owning two bedrooms and three bedrooms.
Not an offering of securities. Private investments are highly illiquid and risky and are not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Securities offered to accredited investors through North Capital Private Securities. Member FINRA SIPC.
If you're looking for a way to diversify your real estate holdings, Realty Shares is a great way to help you do that. That's realtyshares.com, spelled R-E-A-L-T-Y, realtyshares.com. Let me tell you how Realty Shares works. So they have a team of people that are out there all day, every day, doing all kinds of creative stuff to find real estate deals. When they find something that they think is going to work, they have another team that really dives into the numbers. They do detailed due diligence, and they make sure that these properties meet their really strict criteria. If something does, then they put it on their website, and that's where regular people like you and I can go on there, and we can look through all the pictures, we can read the due diligence, we can make sure that the projects make sense to us, and if it does, we can invest in them with as little as $5,000. So it's a real great way to diversify yourself and to get into some kind of cool deals that you probably wouldn't be able to find on your own. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to realtyshares.com/rental. That's R-E-A-L-T-Y shares, realtyshares.com/rental. And if you go there today, you can get $100 towards your first investment. That's realtyshares.com/rental, R-E-A-L-T-Y shares.com/rental for $100 towards your first investment. All right, let's get right back into the interview. So, Scott, tell me, when you're looking for rentals, is there a certain type of property that you like to buy?
I really just use my ratio, and then I try to stay out of the C markets the best I can.
Okay. And what's the ratio that you're looking at?
We're looking at 1.5.
Okay.
But it's not uncommon to get twos.
Okay. So, that just so everyone understands, so if you're going to hypothetically buy a property for $100,000, you want it to rent for between $1,500 and $2,000.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Now, obviously, the numbers are different in your market, but that's just overall so everybody understands. Now, are you looking for properties that need a lot of work, or are these properties generally ready to go?
Well, I would say in the beginning, they needed a lot of work, but everything we've bought in the last 5 years has just needed some value added things, such as, you know, we repainted our color scheme and maybe updated the flooring.
Okay.
Just to maximize the rent.
Are you guys using the same colors in every property?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. And do you generally have things the same, like you're using the same types of appliances and the same finishes in every property?
Yes, we do.
That's awesome. So your guys know, your maintenance guys know when you've got a new property, you don't have to tell them do this or do that. Is it to the point where they kind of know what to do when they walk in?
Yeah. We do a walkthrough basically in the beginning, in the mid, and the end. But they already know the colors. They just may not know if I'm going to change out the kitchen cabinets.
Right. Or, okay.
You know, things like that.
Do you find that certain properties work best? Like say if a three bedroom is better than a two bedroom, or certain school districts work better, or does it not really matter that a rental is a rental and someone's going to rent it?
Definitely school there is. In our area, a lot of people want more rural as well.
Okay.
You know, we've been focusing lately on multiplexes. Just because the ratios are better in those areas.
Okay. Now, what about with the more rural properties when there's more land? Do you ever have trouble with your tenants mowing the grass? like, you know, maybe it sounds like a good idea that they want to have some land, but when it comes down to, you've got to keep up that kind of a yard every week. Is that ever an issue?
You know, I would say very rarely, but we have had people where they've had a health issue or their mower has broken. But we provide the service that, you know, if they can't get it done, we will do it and we'll bill them for it.
Okay.
So it works out good.
Okay. And when your leases come up, do you try to get a rent increase every year? Or are you, if you have a good tenant, are you just looking to keep them in the property for as long as possible?
No, we do slight increases every year.
Do you tell them up front that you're going to be raising the rent if they decide to stay, or like how does that process work?
Well, we give them three options. We give them an option to go month to month with an increase. We give them a lower increase if they sign for another year, and if they don't respond at all on either of the leases and want to stay on their old lease, then that's the maximum rent per month.
That's awesome. Yeah, people love choices. I think that's a great idea. That's a really good idea. Now, so what's your plan from here? Do you want to keep buying rentals at, you know, that you've got your snowball and you've got lots of income to keep building the portfolio? Do you want to keep buying rentals from here? Or are you happy with the portfolio that you've built?
You know, I'm happy with the portfolio. We kept it in a real small territory of one county. Mm-hmm. So we really like that as well. But we are looking at a deal now that will come close to doubling our size.
Wow.
But, you know, the numbers are going to have to be right before we do that.
Right. Wow. That's crazy. Is this an investor that's looking to get out of the business that is selling his entire portfolio?
Yeah, he's a property manager, and he also owns about 100 units himself, doors.
Okay.
And he's looking to be to retire.
That's awesome. So have you been able to buy a lot of properties from other investors like that?
Yes, I have. I've been pretty fortunate there.
So how do you do that? Like, are you like going to RIA clubs and trying to network with local investors?
It's mainly networking. We don't have a REIT group here.
Okay.
But I do work with a lot of realtors, and the word is out there that, you know, we are a cash buyer, and it seems to work out good for people who want to get out and want to liquidate everything in one shot.
Okay. Now let's go back for a second. You mentioned about the school districts, and one question I had for you was, like, if there's a bad school district, will you just stay away from there?
Yeah, we won't buy anything in there at all.
Okay. And because I guess, like, one thing that I've always kind of wondered about, and I don't own any properties in bad school districts, but there's just as many people that live in bad school districts as live in good school districts. So I've always wondered, you know, the general thought is, you want to be in a good school district because you're going to get better tenants. But do you find that people that live in bad school districts are generally worse tenants, or are those properties just harder to rent because people don't want to go to those schools or don't want their kids going to those schools?
Well, I kind of have several things on that. So I have picked up a few in school districts that are not so well. You know, back in the 2000, you know, mid 2000, late 2000s, they were selling houses in package deals. Mm-hmm. So we were buying three or four from a bank and they would stick one bad one in there. So with my experience, it's kind of both. You know, people don't want to live in those school districts. They don't tend to take care of the properties as well, mm-hmm. In general. And then plus it's harder to fill it. So really our ratios would increase quite a bit in those areas because the houses are much cheaper.
Right.
But with all the problems, our cash flow would be reduced.
Right. So it's just not worth it. It maybe looks good on paper, but in reality, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, and one other thing that I want to ask you is about two bedrooms. A lot of landlords stay away from two bedrooms. Do you think it's a bad idea to stay away from a two bedroom, or if the numbers work, are you happy with it?
Oh, I love two bedrooms.
Okay. Well, okay.
We have ones, twos, and threes.
Okay.
Is the majority of our portfolio. We have some fours and fives, but I don't care for those.
Do they just take longer to rent?
Well, and yeah, for sure. And, you know, I guess the damages tend to increase as you add bedrooms, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, you got a bigger place, more square footage. So you find like the less square footage there is on a property, the better rental it's probably going to be?
It has been for us, yes.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you telling your story. I think it's really inspiring. If anybody wants to do what you've done, is there any advice that you would give them other than just be patient?
Start.
Start. Okay. Okay. That's great advice. So start and just keep at it, right? I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from talking to you is that you just had a plan and you just kept working at it, and you didn't expect to have 100 properties overnight. It took you what? Like, it's been about 15 years.
Yep. Correct.
So, I mean, it took you 15 years to get where you are today, but I really think that, I really think what you've done is something that a lot of people could do if they just have the patience to do it. So thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate your time.
You too. Thank you.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.